What a great reading. I love that every year. What a global group of folks you are. That's awesome. Really is awesome. And you think about how awesome that day of Pentecost must have been. In Acts, we're told that it drew a crowd. It didn't scare people away. People rushed to it. Cats do that, by the way, if there's a fight. You know, they all rush in. And when the Holy Spirit is released in power, people are drawn to the Lord. They're drawn to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I had a really tremendous experience yesterday at Rwanda Day in Chicago, and there were several of us there. It was a day of celebrating Rwandan culture and life, social fabric, and all of that, and the day capped off with an address from the president of Rwanda, and there were 3,000 Rwandans there who live all over North America, and I met a number of them, had lunch with some of them, and some of them have not been back to their countries since 1994. There are young people that are from Rwandan families who've never been there. They've just heard the stories, and so it really was an outreach of their countrymen to them. And as friends of Rwanda and Redeemer, we're very much friends of Rwanda in our relationships there. We were invited to be a part of that. And one experience of that day, other than being on African time, and it did, we started about 2.5 hours late. One experience of that was listening to extended speeches and conversations in language I did not understand. Those of you who were there, you know what this is like. It's not like a minute or two. We're talking about hours and hours of Kinyarwanda. Every once in a while, someone would switch to French, and then I'd catch, 80% of that. But then they'd go back, and there was English, too. And English was spoken. And, it makes sense. I mean, this is their own language, and it was appropriate. But it reminded me of how limited I am. It reminded me how many divisions there are in the world. And I'm not just talking about language. It reminded me how often I expect other people to understand what I'm saying, no matter who they are. And I assume that they do. And when they don't, I wonder what's wrong with them. See, hearing, really hearing something in a way that you can hear it, is related to understanding. And understanding is related to being known and knowing, which relates to belonging. And that's why what we mark today, the coming of the Spirit in power with this sort of manifestation, is so important for our community and for the mission of God's people, as God calls those to himself to belong to him. Pentecost, that day of the coming of the Holy Spirit in power upon the followers of Jesus, was a divine gift of love to his people, that people might really hear, and in hearing might be gathered in and reconciled to God and their divisions healed. It's a social miracle. It's an outreaching miracle. The miracle of speaking and hearing was an event that reflected God's faithfulness in keeping promises. After all, the Spirit had been promised to the disciples. And throughout the Gospels, you can read this and just go back through Scriptures, and the Spirit is promised all the way through, just as the Messiah was promised. And in the words of Jesus, just before his ascension in Acts 1, what does he say? He says, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." That's a promise. He goes on to say, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That's a promise. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's a promise. And in the outpouring of Pentecost is the fulfillment of this promise. Not conditioned, by the way, you notice. Jesus isn't saying to them, if you do this and get it all right, I might send the Spirit to you. He says, no, sit, wait, it's coming. Pentecost is the Lord's gift. The fulfillment of promise that was made, not a negotiation that was reached. Because it's the heart of the Father to save, to make it possible for people to truly hear, and in hearing to respond to God. I do want to say this morning that as we look at these scriptures, it's an engagement with the event of Pentecost. It's not a full sort of theology of the Holy Spirit. There are those, and I'd recommend a couple of things. Dr. Cole has written a wonderful book, He Who Gives Life, a beautiful theology of the Holy Spirit. Also, a little book that I've enjoyed for a long time is I Believe in the Holy Spirit by Michael Green. If you want other references for that, today we are stepping into Pentecost, the event. Now, just because the Spirit is God's gift and it's promised to His people, doesn't mean that we're disinterested bystanders, that it's just done to us. Jesus' followers are told to wait. Actually, they're told to sit. And not just anywhere, they're told to sit in Jerusalem, to wait there. This is what it says as we look at Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, we don't know what they were doing, do we? We have no idea what they were doing. We're not given any descriptions of earnest prayer. We're not told that they were on their knees begging for the Lord to give the Spirit. Or praying for the ability to have some specific gift. We don't know if they were singing or what. We just don't know. Luke doesn't tell us. It's not the point. They were together in one place. They were together. God poured out His Spirit upon a community, upon the gathering of His people. That's the first thing I just wanted to underline today. God's Spirit is poured out on a community. It's not one here and one there. You might get it, or Charles, you might have it in the back. It's not a sprinkling of the Spirit. It's a pouring of the Spirit on the people of God. It's given to the community. In fact, it forms the community. It's what makes the community God's people, the church. Pentecost is the new establishing of the people of God in their mission. It's like the giving of the law on Sinai, if you think about it. This event actually constitutes a people that belong, a people that are holy, a people that are set apart to God and are called to His worship and His witness. I think sometimes we think of, because the Spirit's sort of something we can't figure out, we think of it as something private, something to be held privately and experienced privately. You have your Spirit, I have my Spirit, we kind of have a little different expectation and all of that. But I don't think so. I don't think that's what this declaration is giving us. You see, the fire rested on each one of them. They were all filled. It was the sign of a people that belonged to God in a long line of God's call and God's promise. Through exile and return, Israel was being restored through God's faithfulness. They were together. They were together in one place. It's also amazing that the Spirit was given in a time and manner that God chose. Look at that. If we look at the words again of the first couple of verses, when the day of Pentecost arrived, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. So when the time was set, then the Spirit came. See, I don't think they knew what to expect. I don't believe they were praying for a specific experience. They were told to wait. And they were waiting together. But God chose the time and how it would happen. I don't think they woke up and said, oh, today's the day. Like we know, it's we celebrate and remember and mark Pentecost today. We know that. We can see it on the calendar. They had no idea how long they would be waiting. Or for what? God chose the time and how it would happen. Because the Spirit is, as the Creed says, the Lord. The Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life. The Spirit is not subject to our ideas of how things should be, or what gifts should be given when or how, or what our mission as a church should be. The Spirit is not subject to our ideas about those things. God is amazingly creative, and we are so boring sometimes. I'll say that about myself. I just get in a rut. I see something. Oh, the Lord did that. Okay, well, the Lord needs to do that here. Or I had this experience with the Lord 25 years ago. I should have that now. So the Lord is amazingly creative. The Spirit is releasing new things all the time of how we are to do the mission that He's called us to do and the ways in which that should be done. See, Pentecost comes and God is in control. The Holy Spirit comes and is in control. The Spirit is not in our back pocket. You know, the wind is a good picture of that. We have the wind coming, don't we? That sound of that wind. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit is a wind. It says it comes like a wind here. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He says the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I love this story from Numbers. Moses was having a really tough time. In fact, he was sort of burned out and just fed up. And so the idea was, well, you know, you're carrying a lot on your own. You need some others to share this with. And so they identified leaders, and they were told to come outside the camp and to circle around, and some of the spirit that God had given to Moses would be placed on them. And it happens, and they prophesy. They just do it one time, but it happens. Well, there's a couple of guys that were designated, but they don't go out. They stay in the camp, and the Spirit falls on them. And immediately, someone wants to stop it. Right? They come running. Eldad, Medad, they're prophesying. Make them stop! But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them." That was a prayer, a cry from God's own heart when Moses uttered those words. In his book, Embraced by the Spirit, which is just released last year, Chuck Swindoll, who we don't think of as sort of a charismatic leader, do we, in terms of, you know, his theology. But he wrote this about the Holy Spirit. He says, "By the time I graduated from seminary, I had many convictions and few questions, especially regarding the Holy Spirit. But during a lifetime of ministry that has taken me around the United States and to many countries abroad, I have found that the work of the Holy Spirit continually keeps me off balance. I'm not alone in that. Those in church leadership seem afraid the Spirit is going to do something we can't explain."